Hi, welcome to Bookie. To unlock more world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Bookey at Apple Store or Google Play. You will get 7 days free trial with more features. Today we will unlock the book Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. When it comes to Benjamin Franklin, we all know of his tremendous achievements across various fields. He was one of America's most accomplished and charismatic founding fathers. He was both a scientist with extensive knowledge and an eloquent diplomat, both a pioneer of social reforms and a well-known writer. George Washington, who was also a founding father of the United States of America, once said, "I admire three people in my life. The first is Benjamin Franklin, the second is Benjamin Franklin, and the third is still Benjamin Franklin." It is through this statement, we can see just how great Franklin was. Today's book Benjamin Franklin, An American Life does a perfect representation of a charismatic Franklin. Interesting and meticulously researched, it uses an objective and impartial viewpoint to demonstrate Franklin's life, his rise from an ordinary citizen to the peak of his career, and his remarkable achievements across many fields. This book combines the story of Franklin's life with the evolution of American history, thus letting us understand Franklin not only as an individual, but also the difficult journey of America from 13 colonies to an independent nation. Furthermore, we can come to understand the enormous role Franklin played in leading America to independence and establishing the national governance system. In the process of reading this book, we have the deep feeling that Franklin is a wise old man narrating his life next to us bit by bit. We can hear his emotions, as well as his inner conflicts and struggles. This is one of the most appealing aspects of the book. The author of this book, Walter Isaacson, is a famous American biographer. He was authorized to write the first biography of the founder of Apple, Steve Jobs. He also published several best-selling biographies, including Kissinger, A Biography, and Einstein, His Life and Universe. In this book, Isaacson presents readers Franklin's legendary life through his remarkable writing skills and years of experience as a biography writer. A review by the Houston Chronicle reads, "It transforms marble men into flesh and blood figures, complex and admirable if hardly perfect, a good read." The New York Times commented, "This may be the book that most powerfully adds another notch to Franklin's reputation." In this bookie, we will focus on Franklin's contributions as a scientist, a pioneer of social reforms and a politician, and we'll walk you through the life of this great man. Part 1. A Pragmatic Scientist. Part 2. A Pioneer of Social Reforms. Part 3. A Charismatic Politician. The Franklins were a middle-class family living in the English countryside in the late Middle Ages. To support his family, Franklin's father Josiah, together with his first wife and children, moved from Britain to Boston, what was a North American colony before America received independence. Soon afterward, his first wife died, and Josiah remarried to his second wife, who later gave birth to Benjamin Franklin. Franklin's ancestors were all craftsmen. His grandfather Thomas II was good at tinkering. As a young man, Thomas made a clock for himself that never broke, that he would use throughout his life. Like his grandfather, from a young age Benjamin Franklin had already exhibited his family's characteristic of ingenuity. As a kid growing up along the Charles River, Franklin maintained a strong interest in swimming throughout his life. Once when he had learned how to swim as a child, he began to think about the ways he could go faster. He realized that the size of one's hands and feet could influence how much water a person could push, and how much propelling power he could generate. Thus, he made himself flippers for his hands with holes for his thumbs. Later, he made a pair of flippers for his feet. These flippers were of great help for speeding up, enabling him to swim across the Boston Harbor. During that time in Boston, Franklin's father Josiah was in a business of making candles and soap. He hoped that Franklin could help in the shop. However, because the smell produced by the candle and soap-making process was terrible, Franklin soon made clear his distaste for the job. Josiah had no choice but to take him to visit other workshops to see what he was interested in. Having visited many workshops in his childhood, Franklin developed a lifelong appreciation for craftsmen. He became familiar with an array of crafts and showed a talent for tinkering, which served him well as an inventor. Franklin's principles towards inventions ran through every aspect of his life. Above all was his primary principle of pragmatism. For example, when he was a printer, since there was no industry for casting type in the North American colonies, Franklin tried to make lead molds and thus became the first person in America to manufacture type. When his employer won the right to print a new issue of paper currency, Franklin designed a copperplate press to make bills so ornate that they could not easily be counterfeit. He made many other pragmatic inventions, such as one that reduced the smoke from stoves, bifocal glasses for both distant and near vision, and a mechanical arm that could easily retrieve books from top shelves. Franklin completely immersed himself in scientific research when he was 20 years old. On his voyage from London to Philadelphia, he embarked on his first scientific research. He experimented on small crabs he found on some seaweed, calculated his distance from London based on phases of the moon, and studied the habits of dolphins and flying fish. Since then until the end of his life, he never stopped conducting such kind of scientific research. His research covered a wide range of fields, including the Gulf Stream, meteorology, the Earth's magnetism, and refrigeration. Even the idea of daylight savings time could be credited to one of his essays. In 1748, his research reached its peak. And being a pragmatic, he promoted the translation of scientific findings into practical use. He is famously quoted for asking, "What signifies philosophy that does not apply to some use?" Such pragmatism was of great practical value during the living conditions that existed at the time. As such, Franklin also applied his own scientific inventions or findings to real life. Having found out that dark fabrics absorb heat better than brighter ones, he suggested that black clothes are not quite fit to wear in a hot sunny climate. Moreover, he studied the causes of colds, and proposed methods of preventing them. He researched the standard and duration of physical exercises, built the earliest theory that linked exercise with calories, and even provided suggestions about avoiding nightmares. Even after he became a politician, he still carried out scientific research at any given opportunity. Once, in the year 1755, he was invited to join an American delegation for a negotiation with Britain about whether to provide assistance to British troops. On the way to the negotiation, he impressed the rest of the delegation with his scientific curiosity. Once, when Franklin encountered a small whirlwind, he rode his horse into it, studied its effects, and even tried to break it up with his whip. The list goes on with many other similar examples. Among them, which is also his most significant scientific contribution, was his study of electricity. At the time, when electricity was often shown as a magic trick, Franklin turned it into a science. In one crucial finding, he noted in his observation that the electrical fluid is attracted to points. In 1752, it is said that Franklin tested his idea during a famous experiment, by flying a kite into a storm in order to prove that lightning is generated by electricity. It was a very dangerous experiment, and there are still doubts nowadays whether he truly did it, and how he actually performed it. However, there's no doubt that he invented the lightning rod. In the centuries before that, there had been countless incidents of people being injured by lightning. In just the 35 years of the mid-18th century, 386 churches in Germany were struck, killing more than 100 bell ringers. In Venice, lightning struck a church and set off tons of gunpowder, killing more than 3,000 people. People were afraid of lightning, but could do nothing about it, as it had generally been considered a supernatural phenomenon or expression of God's will, making it infinitely powerful and inevitable. In the summer of 1752, based on his research findings, Franklin succeeded in persuading the citizens of Philadelphia to erect lightning rods on top of high buildings. Subsequently, the much-loathed lightning was put under control. Since then, lightning rods began sprouting up across Europe and the North American colonies. As a result, in the summer of 1753, Harvard and Yale gave him honorary degrees. London's Royal Society made him the first person living outside of Britain to receive its Gold Copley Medal. Franklin's research on and contributions to scientific knowledge of electricity cemented his status in the history of science. In particular, the impact of the law of conservation of charge in physics makes him comparable to Newton. That's all for part one. In summary, Franklin's scientific inventions based in pragmatism followed him throughout his life. He exhibited his family's characteristic of ingenuity since a young age. His scientific interest covered a wide range of fields, including the Gulf Stream, meteorology, the Earth's magnetism, and refrigeration. His contribution to growing the understanding of electricity earned him a significant position in the field of physics. Moreover, his scientific research always sought to bring good to mankind. As the author said while commenting on the invention of lightning rods, few scientific discoveries have been of such immediate service to humanity. The pursuit of serving humankind was also perfectly demonstrated in Franklin's commitment to social reforms. Today we are just sharing Limited Bookie. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for BOOKEY at Apple Store or Google Play. You will get 7 days free trial with more features.
Hallo, ich bin Christiane Beer, Führungskräftecoachin und Organisationsberaterin. Alle 2 Wochen habe ich in meinem Podcast Führungsgefühle Führungsmenschen zu Gast. Getreu dem Motto, Führungskräfte sind auch nur Menschen, spreche ich dabei mit meinen Gästinnen über deren Führungsarbeit und wie es ihnen im Arbeitsalltag damit geht.
Ist dann immer auch gepaart mit persönlichen Verletzungen.
Wir sprechen dann über ihr ganz persönliches Glück und Leid, Frust, Stolz, Sehnsüchte, Leidenschaften als Führungskraft, von Führungsgefühlen eben. Und wir sprechen darüber, wie sie damit umgehen.
Das ist tatsächlich etwas, was mich vom Bild her die Wellen surfen lässt.
Führungsgefühle, der Führungspodcast mit dem Blick auf ganze Menschen. Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.